Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners, and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I'm, of course, one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as always, is my brother, friend, and my traveling companion, Vince McNally. How are you today, Vince?
Elliot, I would be lying if I said anything other than hot, hot, hot. It's a scorcher out here today.
It is.
I think this probably sets the record for the highest our novelty bird thermometer that's tacked to the side of the RV has ever gone. It's all the way to, like, the wing is, like, turned all the way around past the bird's head.
Actually, I don't know if you've checked it recently, but it actually melted off the side of the RV last time I checked.
Not a good sign.
Listeners, we are in a scorcher of a town. In terms of interest level and in terms of heat index, I know most of you listening are probably tucked away in your houses in a cold winter environment, but Vince and I decided to do the exact opposite this week.
We sure did. We headed to the American Southwest, to the great state of Arizona, where we're in the middle of quite an unseasonal heat wave.
That's true. And Vince, I think in the interest of not passing out, we should probably jump right into our first segment.
I wish it were a kiddie pool.
Unfortunately, it's put it on the map. So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and get ready to stick a pin in Carthage, Arizona. We had to park our RV just on the outskirts of town, and we are in the home of our gracious host today. Our RV has air conditioning in it, and that is completely outlawed, or any cooling elements are outlawed in this town. We're in Carthage, Arizona, as I said, and we are in the home of our guest today. She is a fantastic woman who is currently wearing about 3 sweaters right now. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Sylvia Beltov.
Sylvia Beltov, thank you so much for allowing us in your home. And thank you for this extra cardigan.
Oh, yes, I figured you would need it. You only have one layer on. I'm quite concerned.
And I've got to stop you right there before you fill my cup with more tea that's still somehow currently boiling in the cup.
Oh, yes, I keep a crock pot going, so it's always warm whenever you need it.
It's quite spectacular, but I've had my fill. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you could do the honors of sticking a pin here in Carthage, that would be great.
I'm sorry, sticking a pin?
Oh, I'm sorry. A pin. Yeah, if you could dig into... Actually, you know what? I'll get it out. I don't want you to cut yourself. Here's a pin that you can use to stick in the map. And, it's
very
thin paper, but let me just help you out and push it in.
Oh,
great.
That was fun.
It was a wild ride for us too. Thanks so much for joining us. I know you're a busy woman with many responsibilities, and can I just commend you for having such an active and involved lifestyle? It's clear that you've been doing this a long time.
Oh, yes, I've been doing this for several years. I like to start new committees every 5 years, a sort of a 5-annual yearly new committee project.
So your most current one is the committee what is it called again? You guys are against any sort of cooling element in the town.
Yes. We're the community of Carthage, Arizona, against cooling instruments of the devil.
Oh, I didn't realize that there was some sort of religious or satanic undertone to this as well.
No, we had to change it to the devil because we had a different word in place, but people didn't seem to realize what it meant, so we just used a symbol of the devil to show the evil of cooling instruments. No religion involved.
So you guys thought that would make sense, even though hell is, you know, in literary terms, a very hot place.
Oh, sure, yeah, yep.
Not quite as hot as the sewing room is, but... close.
Oh, I converted it into a sauna last year with the help of my lumberjack friends.
That is why there was a couple naked men in here.
Oh, yes. Frederick and Alan, they like to come over.
Well, we didn't mean to chase you out, guys. They seem to get bashful suddenly and leave.
Oh, yes. When you say their names, they're like, who, me? Happens all the time. Don't worry about it. They'll be back later, probably around 2 a.m.
So, Sylvia, where did you get the idea to start this committee to make sure there were no cooling elements in the town?
I have to say, I find it disgraceful that so many people here at Carthage don't believe in climate change. So my thought was, well, you need to feel it. So no ice cubes, no refrigerators, no AC. And then you'll believe it. You'll be like, yes, the world's getting warmer and we'll finally do something about it.
I think that's a very progressive ideology for an older person.
Oh, yes. I read a lot of National Geographic magazines. They come monthly.
I'm looking at one right now and it seems like it's melted to the table.
Oh, yes. I accidentally spilt my pie on it. It just came fresh from the oven, just bloop onto it.
That can happen. Thanks so much for, you know, enlightening us. I didn't expect it to have a progressive political message when I first heard about the town. And, you know, it's already working as intended. I cannot go a single microsecond without thinking about climate change right now.
There you go. See, that's exactly the purpose of our group. And you have to be very subtle here in Arizona. People get riled up, mostly because of the heat.
I can't really blame them. But you know what I also can't blame? Us for wanting to jump right into our first segment, Elliot.
I agree, Vincent. That's when we call, you can't do that here.
So listeners, you know it as well as anyone probably that when you go to small town America, sometimes you run into some sort of outdated, quirky, archaic laws, ordinances, different things that you can and can't do in a town that's not quite normal. We investigate that phenomenon in a segment we call You Can't Do That Here. And I'm guessing Carthage has one or two of these rules in place as well. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes, yes. They have many rules in place, actually. It's in the shape of a Bible that you can find in a motel room.
How's that?
So many people were breaking the rules. They printed it in a book, and so they placed it by the Bible in motel rooms, so travelers would know.
So when you stay at a motel room in Carthage, you open the one drawer underneath the one lamp, and then there's two books instead of one, and one is the rule book of Carthage.
Yes, but most people, you know, don't look at it. They're like, oh, that's the religion drawer. Keep it shut.
So obviously, Sylvia, there were enough people breaking the rules to necessitate your committee against cooling. What were some of the top offenders of this?
Oh, yes. Specifically about cooling, you're asking.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's the only thing I can think about right now.
Oh, yes. True. It's a big issue here. Well, one of the issues and rules that people commonly break is feeding ice to babies.
So even if a baby is very hot, they cannot have any ice.
No, it's bad for their constitution. It's a health issue, really. But people think it's our agenda, and we're like, no, this is for the baby.
It's been a long time since I've heard the word constitution, Sylvia. You know, Elliot, I don't mean to interrupt, but the Afghan that is draped across your legs has erupted in flames, so you might want to pat that out. Sylvia, what sort of laws and rules have you been instrumental in instituting over the last few years as your head of the committee?
Well, we recently got a new one passed. It's called Thirsty Thursday, where no one can drink an ice-cold beverage.
It's starting to escape me how a beverage could even be ice-cold in this town, but what's the thought process behind eliminating cool drinks on a Thursday afternoon?
Well, very simply, like, if you cannot get cold drinks, you will feel the heat much better. You'll be warm. You won't be numb to the sensations. Ice is a numbing agent. I don't know if you know that.
I know it all too well. The picture your assistant just brought us, is that hot tomato soup?
Oh, yes. It's actually V8. I just pour it out and just set it in the sun.
That's how it's meant to be enjoyed, I'm told, from the commercials. Sylvia, something I ran into, actually, was I was at the coffee shop before we started recording, and I was presented a scalding hot Americano, and I went to blow on it, and the guy in front of me in line was pretty upset that some of my blowing hit him and cooled him off slightly. And the paramedics rushed in, got him an emergency sweater. So I was wondering, especially with this hot tomato soup, V8, you're not going to be able to blow on it, are you?
Oh, no, that's taboo. There's a lot of, you know, reasons behind why we don't blow on soup. One is it does cool you down. Two is that some people believe that you release demons when you blow on it. This is actually a religious reason.
Yeah, religion's starting to sort of pop up here and there in this town. I am wondering, does that mean you can't do something like wave at someone in a fan-like manner, walk past them too quickly to create a draft behind you? These sort of things are also forbidden.
Is there sexual tension between the two?
I had not considered if there were or weren't. Does that modify?
Oh, yes.
Behavior that you could take?
Oh, yes. If there's sexual tension, then it's a big no-no. If it's accidental, that's understandable. But if it's with intention, big trouble.
What's the thought process behind forbidding sort of accidental romance or the sort of, as you call it, the sexual tension feelings between two people?
Sometimes when people get engaged in sex, they get hot. Unfortunately, they get too hot here in Carthage, so we have a very strict when-you-can-have-sex calendar.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess, from a medical standpoint.
Especially, most of the town is 80-plus, so you have to monitor that as well.
It's very important. We have a lot of time on our hands, so...
Sylvia, for maybe some of our couples in the audience that might be passing through Carthage and might want to know, when is it all right for people in this city to engage in intercourse?
We have a regularly scheduled time that they can participate in the act, and it's at 3:17 a.m. to 3:23 a.m.
So it sounds like maybe the coolest part of the day, which usually hovers around 95 degrees.
Yes.
You heard them. Make it snappy, guys, if you're coming through Carthage.
in more ways than one. Vince, did you run into any laws that you found particularly interesting?
None that leapt off the legislative page at me. I did pick up a loitering ticket when I briefly passed out for 4.5 hours outside of a convenience store. I woke up and the ticket had sort of like paper mache'd itself to my face because of all the sweat.
Some people came over and put several of those tinfoil blankets that they put on marathon runners when you were passed out, just in case you wouldn't, get too cold.
And after that, they zipped me in that foil cocoon that people who are trapped in forest fires use. When I left, I actually had boils all over my body. Lancing all those was no fun at all.
Sylvia, are there any other laws that maybe a visitor might want to know before they come to town?
Let's see. I can pull out the book here if you'll just move to the side.
Oh, yep. Wow, that is a gigantic book. Oh. I can't believe that fits in a nightstand.
Oh, yes. We have very deep desks. Here's a good one right here.
So you're on page 35 for anyone that's following along at home.
Elliot, is it just me or are the pages of this book shimmering like a mirage?
I think that might be in our heads, Vince.
I see.
One of the strictest rules we have here is you cannot bring illegal ice in.
Are there a lot of people trying to bring illegal ice in from across the border?
Oh,
Mexican ice?
Oh, I was thinking, what's close by? What's the state that's close by? Nevada?
That's around here.
Yes. Okay. It's been a while since I've left this place. So sometimes people will bring ice illegally from there, and we have to kick them out of the state.
Oh, not just the town. That's a federal offense that you are kicked out of the state if you bring illegal ice into Carthage.
Oh, yes. It's a big one.
So you're saying all I have to do to get kicked out of this town is bring ice in from the outside?
Oh, yes. You get caught and you're out of Arizona forever.
Don't mind me, I will just be texting Xander something completely unrelated. Continue with the segment, Elliot and Sylvia.
Vince, are you using the ice cube emoji in that text message?
I'm using many ice cube emojis, Elliot.
Hopefully he's near his phone. This has been pretty enlightening, and it's really opened our eyes as to how we can leave this town and never come back. But before we leave this segment, I just want to say thank you for giving us our own copy of the rule book. There's a built-in heating element, it seems, while it's sitting on my lap.
You know those hand warmers that you just shake and they start to warm up? It's made of that. The cover is made of that. Yes, just shake it.
Interesting. It's burning the hair off my legs right now.
Oh, it's potent.
I can actually hear the book sizzling, Elliot.
You can fry an egg on it if you get desperate.
I don't think I'll be getting that desperate to have more hot food in me. You've already brought in so much tomato soup and bisque that I really couldn't have anything else. And I think it's about time, Vince, to hear from our listeners.
I couldn't agree more, Elliot.
And that's in a segment called Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, like my brother mentioned, this is your opportunity to write into the show with your specific questions, queries, and concerns about what's going on in the towns that we visit. We have time to read three on air each and every week. Elliot, I've got the first one right here.
All right, what's it say, Vince?
This comes from Luna in St. Petersburg, Florida.
So what's Luna have to say?
Luna would like to know, how does someone in Carthage go about getting a suntan?
Well, it seems like that would be pretty simple. I mean, I feel like we've gotten tan just sitting inside our house.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's some written on the back. You know, since everyone's always wearing so many sweaters and white gloves and stuff.
I'm glad she clarified.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you, Luna. And it's also written, I can guess her age by the handwriting. It's written as really tiny cursive that older ladies write in.
Sylvia, this does bring up a good point. I was going to say, you know, why don't you just go outside and get a tan? But there is that other law that you have to be clothed from head to toe at all times. So are people concerned about getting suntans here, or are they trying to avoid the sun?
Oh, I'm several shades darker under these sweaters, boys. It happens when the blood vessels burst underneath your skin, sort of causing a bruising effect. Look, but it looks very nice.
So instead of a tan, it's more of like a mauve hue that you become.
Yes, the more sweaters you get on, the more purple you become. But you have to be very careful about how many layers you put on the top versus the bottom.
Oh, you want a nice, even coating, I'm assuming.
Yes, it takes practice.
Yeah, those varicose veins are going to pop themselves.
That's quite an image, Elliot. Well, thanks for writing, Luna. That's the horrifying answer I did not know that we would receive. So I appreciate that. Elliot, do you have the next letter for us?
I do. This one comes from Jim in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, it looks like you didn't even have to open the envelope. It sort of just disintegrated around the letter.
Yeah, that's really convenient when you're opening letters here. He says that he has always wanted to go to Carthage because he's stuck in the north, and he wishes he could go to a place in the wintertime. And let me tell you, Jim, you might want to reconsider that wish. But he does say that he also likes Carthage for a different reason.
I can literally not imagine what that would be.
He says that he's a huge movie buff. He spends a lot of wintertime watching movies because it's so cold. And one of his favorite movies is the 1970s thriller Deliverance that he knows was shot and set in Carthage, Arizona.
Who's this? Is this Jim?
This is Jim, yes.
Jim, you realize that film cannot actually function in Carthage.
Not too many mechanical things can actually work in Carthage properly, so just the act of orchestrating an entire movie would simply not work, let alone the fact that you could just easily Google that Deliverance was shot and set in Georgia, of all places, across the country from here.
Sylvia, are you aware of any sort of reason there would be a misconception about a film set on a river being filmed in a place where running water of any kind hasn't existed since the 70s?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
So that there are no natural bodies of water here, correct?
No, not at all. We got rid of those back in the 70s when we were burning bras.
So even though a bra is another layer of clothing you could wear, you didn't want to wear those?
No, it was part of the movement. We tucked our arms within our three layers of sweaters, unlatched the back clasp, wiggled it out through the top turtleneck, and threw it.
So in the 70s, how old were you? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was probably very, very young, 32.
Yet you still wore all those sweaters back then. That's interesting. I was assuming that this aversion to coolness came with age, but it seems like the people of Carthage are just always cold.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's very true. Everyone loves wearing sweaters here.
Is it just me, or is the teaspoon glowing molten hot?
Oh, it does that. That's good. That's a good sign.
I'm not sure that I agree. It's starting to sear through the wood of the table a little bit. Sylvia, would you do us the great honor of reading our last question for us?
Oh, bye. Yes, I was hoping you would ask. Let me see here. Glasses. Could you pass me my glasses, please?
Oh, yeah, here.
Thank you. Oh, this is a very good question from Miss Delaney.
Sylvia, can you just move a little bit? The sun is reflecting off your glasses and lighting a fire on that paper you're reading. So
oh,
you
move sure.
Slightly.
There you go. Sure. Okay. her question is, what is the best thing to eat in Carthage? She's a foodie. Oh, what a great question. I would have to say tomato soup. That's why I serve it. I think it's just the bee's knees.
So do you mean tomato soup or do you mean V8 sun-cooked juice served hot?
I'm not sure what the difference is unless you're living on a budget. Both will do the job.
Well, fair enough. Yes, that's my mistake. Besides the aforementioned tomato soup, I think you can't go without mentioning your very own fresh-baked bread, Sylvia. The smell is intoxicating. You did bring the ingredients out separately and just set them in a bowl, and the bread has sort of baked itself over the course of the last 20 minutes.
Yes, isn't that the wonderful part about Carthage? Sun-baked bread. It's great. Have you had a piece yet? Here, let me go get a knife for that bread.
Now, Vince, with that knife, you want to cut into the bread. You're a little close to your wrist right now.
Elliot, you got to take this away from me.
I can cut us some pieces. You know, something I have noticed is becoming all the rage across country are different cereal bars. But Carthage has kind of spun that on its head, and they have a lot of different steel-cut oatmeal bars that you can go to get real hot bowls of oatmeal. Sylvia, do you like oatmeal?
Oh, yes. I like to put a little bit of prunes on top of it.
Worth noting that the trees actually grow straight prunes here in Carthage, not plums that are turned into prunes later.
Yeah, all fruit is immediately dried. It's a very dry heat in Arizona, so there is no liquid. And one of those rules in the Carthage rule book is you can't have any sort of water-based fruit. So you don't want any watermelons or melons that are constituted of primarily water.
Yes, that's correct. We frown on that very much. One time, my neighbor's son, Timothy, brought home a watermelon. And oh boy, was that the neighborhood in an uproar.
Is that when you guys hired Gallagher here to dispose of all the watermelons in the town?
Oh, yes. He has a nice rate.
What did he charge you to destroy all the watermelons?
Room and board and a tomato soup.
So you mean to suggest that watermelon smashing is sort of like a passion for Gallagher, and he need only to be supported with the basics of survival to do his job.
Yes, he's a very kind person.
I remember seeing the footage on the news of him coming and smashing watermelons here. Interesting how the chunks of watermelon vaporized before they even got to the ground.
That's the power of Gallagher.
That is the power of Gallagher. Really an underappreciated entertainer in his own time. Well, thanks for writing, everyone who didn't get their letters read, or maybe the letters actually burned up before they could get to our RV. Thanks for writing anyway. Be sure to check the forums for our after-hours responses. Elliot, is it time to get to our next segment, would you say?
I think it is, Vince. We've been talking a lot about the power of heat, but this next segment is about the power of kindness, and it's called No Gifts, Ands, or Buts.
So listeners, you know, because we tell you every few weeks, that gift-giving culture is important to many communities, not only in America, but around the world. And we like to explore what that means in a specific place with this segment, No Gifts, Ands, or Buts. How this segment works is we have gotten a gift from town to give to Sylvia, our guest, and she has gotten one for us. Without further ado, Elliot, should we open Sylvia's gift?
I think so, if you don't mind, Sylvia.
Oh, please do. I just can't wait to see your faces when you open it.
Vince, I think we should do this as quickly as possible because this reflective wrapping paper that Sylvia's wrapped it in is bursting into flames. It's extremely hot.
It's actually reflected onto me and seared a scarred tattoo of a little teddy bear holding a bundle of balloons, which is the pattern that is imprinted on it.
So let's rip this up quickly. And it looks like Wow, Sylvia, this is really great. They're two monogram space heaters.
Yes, I monogrammed them myself, too.
You actually embroidered into the metal of the space heater. That's amazing.
Yes.
Given how the metal is sort of in molten liquid state, I see how it would be easier than in normal conditions to actually sew into the metal. This is very kind of you. Oh, it looks like there's a sort of a built-in generator to make this industrial strength.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we are in a sauna right now, but Vince, I think we should honor our guest's gift and turn these space heaters
please
on.
Please, no, Elliot. Please. Please, no.
Maybe, I'll turn mine on low, Sylvia, because I'm sure it's great, and I just want to just test it out. And yeah, that's burning the soles off of my shoes right now.
Yeah.
There's literal fire coming out of the front of this. It looks like a jet engine.
Yes, it starts at 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It goes up to 1,000.
It goes up to 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit?
Well, I haven't measured it myself, but that's what the box says, and I believe
it. You could cook several roasts, and it seems like as you go around town, most people usually have at least one or two roasts in the oven at a time.
Yes, they love meat. And soup.
Elliot, if you could kill that, I've actually somehow managed to sweat through the leather of my shoes.
Yeah. I'm turning it off here. And Sylvia, while I do that, could you open the gift that Vince and I got for you? You were really excited about this.
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing me a gift.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Of course.
Gotta open it carefully, you know. Don't want to rip the tape. Save that for Christmas. Oh my, this is quite the fancy present. I'm very surprised at you. It's one of the best looking aprons with your faces on it that I've ever seen.
That's surprising. I think in my heat delirium, I forgot that we actually sat for that portrait.
I appreciate that you both wore three layers of sweaters.
We, believe me when I say we protested, but that the painter would not work with fewer than four layers on us.
I will treasure this and make all my soup in it.
And if you'll notice, I just want to point out for the listeners who can't see it, we'll post this on Instagram, but it's a full body portrait of Vince and I, and then there's actually real sweaters on top of us. So you have two sweaters on that apron around Vince and I.
I love this. Thank you, young men. I will treasure this for years to come.
It's our pleasure.
Other than V8 soup, is there anything that you're excited to cook in this new apron?
I was going to make a roast pepper tomato soup.
So a different type of tomato soup, I see.
Yes.
All right. Well, Elliot, I just got a, you probably heard it ding there. I just got a text from Xander. Should I read it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It says, perhaps my prayers have been answered, and you two will die out there in that godforsaken wasteland.
This is classic Xander.
Your attempts at humor, you got to go to those classes that we bought for you, Xander.
Well, hopefully he's just joking, and he is airlifting some ice to us so we can be airlifted out of Arizona. While he is doing that, presumably, Vince, I think we should move on to our next segment.
That's a great idea, Elliot. It's called Did You Know?
So listeners, Did You Know is our weekly rapid-fire, fast-fact segment firing five facts at you, the listener, from us and our guest in whatever town we find ourselves in. This week's no different, and guys, I've got the first fact.
Let's hear it, Elliot.
Sylvia and Vince, did you know that although the townspeople of Carthage, Arizona are predominantly 80 years old and older, there is a small segment of younger millennials moving to town.
I can't imagine why, but you wouldn't lie to us. Why is that, Elliot?
Well, I guess the best word for it would be gentrification, where these younger people are moving in into a new neighborhood that's been established called Sodo Car, which is south of downtown Carthage. And they are trying to really just, they're a bunch of bros. That's what I'll say. They're trying to get the best tan possible, and they're always playing beach volleyball down there. Sylvia, do you have any opinion on these young millennial peoples moving into town?
Oh, I have no opinion. I personally like to gaze upon the younger men, if you catch my drift.
You know, I would love to catch your drift if it is below 90 degrees.
Oh, it's definitely hot if you catch my heat wink.
Yeah, just the wink actually propelled a gust of wind over here that is just scalding right now.
And, you know, to those hoping to study mathematics, this neighborhood actually has a university called Sodoku. It's catching a lot of attention nationally. If you can take the heat, I hear their tuition rate is very competitive. They never make you pay more than one of the same number a month. All right, Elliot, I've got the second did you know for us.
All right, Vince, what is it?
Elliot and Sylvia, did you know that there is a booming quilt economy here in Carthage?
I could have guessed, Vince, but why is that?
Well, there is an ordinance that precludes you from sleeping under fewer than two quilts at a time.
That's correct.
Really?
I have six on my bed right now.
I did catch a glimpse of that when you gave us the grand tour. It was a very Princess and the Pea style looking setup.
Oh, yeah.
The bed was much taller than it was long.
It sort of looks like a person's under there, but nope, that's just the quilts piled on top of each other.
Vince, are the retirees tasked to make these quilts, or is there some sort of other industry making the quilts?
No, it's all handmade quilts. And the strange thing about Carthage is that there are more quilts produced per day than there are people in Carthage.
Really? Are they being shipped elsewhere?
Yeah, the entire nation's quilt economy runs through Carthage.
I had no idea. Sylvia, that's amazing.
Oh, yes. A lot of it has to do with Gertrude. She's currently in mourning, so she's been taking her feelings out and making lots of quilts.
What is she mourning, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, it's a sad state of affairs. Her dog of 15 years passed away.
Did he take his own life?
No.
Was it just old age?
He drank some water out of his water bowl, but his bowl was outside, so it was a little too hot for his insides to handle, and he just passed away.
That is tragic. It would explain why the giant face of a frowning Siberian husky is on your top quilt.
Yes, in honor of him. Oh, that leads me to the third did you know. Is it okay if I share?
Oh, yes, of course. Right, yes, please.
Oh, well, around the radius of Carthage, you can see just a line of animal bones. It's almost as if they've hit a heat bubble and died instantly.
Yeah, we did notice that. I guess we should have clued into how ominous it was at the time.
Oh, yes. We call it the Circle of Good Luck.
So that's surrounding the town.
Gotta tell you, Sylvia, that feels like a misnomer to me.
Oh, no, not at all. You never have to worry about coyotes, jaguars, bears, tough cats.
Yeah, well, when you put it that way, I'm starting to see from your perspective.
Yes, very lucky.
Well, I certainly didn't know that. But guys, did you know any person under 80 that comes into town needs to be wearing clothes that were gifted to them from people in Carthage?
Yes, a time-honored tradition.
Sounds like a difficult rule to enforce, but I'm all ears.
Well, I'm sure everyone's received a gift from their grandma or grandpa, and it just makes them feel good when they see you wearing it, even though the size is completely wrong or it's from a TV show that was canceled 15 years ago. But just to make the citizens of Carthage feel good, when you get into town, you have to receive gifts from them, and that's how you clothe yourself. So right now, I'm wearing this, I should say my top layer of sweater is a Bath So Raven sweater that's size XXL.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. But I just assumed I was hallucinating the That's So Raven photograph on the front of it.
Yeah, I've heard that happens a lot, actually.
Elliot, please tell me, since I can't be trusted to know, what short-lived turn-of-the-millennium sitcom adorns my sweater?
Well, that would be none other than the Mary-Kate and Ashley show Two of a Kind. And yours, if I can just look, sorry if my body heat is too much for you, I'm just checking the tag. And that's a size triple XL that you're wearing right now.
Terrific. Underrated program, it must be said.
And Sylvia, actually, I know you're friends with Gertrude. She was the one that gave us these sweatshirts, and we love them.
Oh, good. She was happy to pass them down to to folks that looked like they would enjoy it.
I'm not sure that enjoy is the right word, Sylvia, but it was an act of kindness all the same. Didn't know that, Elliot. I guess that's explains why we're wearing them. But did you know that a very famous artist once spent time studying here in Carthage?
Other than Gallagher?
Other than the greatest artist and performer of our time, Gallagher, yes.
Wow, who would that be, Vince?
None other than Salvador Dali.
Really? Can I make an inference that he got inspiration from some sort of melting artwork he did here?
Yes. You can see quite literally that the clock on the wall here it's a very funny cat-shaped cuckoo clock, by the way. I love your taste, Sylvia. But it's sort of melted around the corner of the room here. In fact, most things in this room are melting.
Gives a soft glow to it. Very romantic.
That is definitely one way to describe it. I think as the table in front of us begins to liquefy, and probably my own internal organs, maybe we should, with heavy hearts, move to our final segment, Elliot.
They are very heavy because of all the heat that we've ingested in this time. But I couldn't agree with you more, Vince. That segment would be called Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, not this week, but most weeks, we wish that you could join us in the towns that we visit. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So instead, we write you an audio postcard from us to you. It goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Carthage, Arizona.
A scalding hot town that all cooling elements are outlawed in.
A town where animals will literally die if they walk outside.
A town that marks your arrival by a ring of dead animal bones.
And a gift of many sweaters from a local quilt smith.
A town where if you're a fan of Gallagher and hate watermelons, you're going to love it here.
But if you're any other person who can function at temperatures below 117 degrees Fahrenheit, I would caution you strongly to stay away.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, hope you enjoyed our time in Carthage, Arizona, and hope you enjoy next week when we're in Seoul, West Virginia.
Founded by a large running community, the town has an ultra marathon that has been consistently going for years. So stay tuned, it's going to be a good one.